Oh, we're
okay. Hi, friend.
Hey, hey.
How you doing? This
ghetto rig. I'm well.
What in the ghetto?
I got the wrong like tripod stand, so I literally got a zip tie around the phone on the pole.
Oh man. We here.
It's okay. Wait, I'm gonna send you a picture.
I need to see. We need to see pictures.
See this. This is like, yeah, this is what really happens. This is behind the scenes.
Look, this is our first time. This is your first time live.
Yes.
My iPad just came off the tripod.
Okay.
But, yay. You know, we're here.
We're live.
You know, they hear about all of our struggles anyway. They might as well hear this one.
Yes.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing? Do us a favor. Can you guys share?
Yeah, bring people in. Bring them in.
This is our first time live, and this is a Brilliant Dummies first time live. And so,
yeah.
Little concerned about doing it from this page. But hey, we're here. How you been? I can't see your face, though.
Oh, wait. Okay. Can you see me?
But now I can't see the hats, which was the whole
thing. I know. Right. So we go get it in there a little bit. We do all half right. And half. That's a little better. Okay.
Yeah. So yay. What episode is this?
205. Yeah.
205.
Right. I feel like a grandma. I'm like, baby, what button you push?
You look like one, yo. I'm sorry. Like, baby, what you say?
Right.
Hilarious. All right, well, let me intro us, and then we can kind of, like, keep going because we're going to laugh.
Okay.
As well as we're using this audio, too, to post. So, yes. Yeah. So, ask your friends. Let your folks know we're on live. Folks have requested us to go live as well. And yes. So here we are. Hey, welcome. How you guys doing? This is Christina Faith. I am your co-host, and this is
a Brilliant Dummy, your other co-host.
A Brilliant Dummy.
And we are a Lot of Heads podcast. This is our first live episode 205. Choosing your tribe. We are in two different coasts right now, and so our setup is a little different than normal. Mm-hmm. Besides the fact that a Brilliant Dummy has to perch up her iPhone. You know, her setup is crushing on mine. I need to handle my situation in this room, but hey, I'm here.
No, you got it. You did it right.
I'm going to show you the behind the scenes. No.
Right. I'm about to send my behind the scenes because all everything in front of me is like out of control right now. But it's okay.
So I think it's really important, though, to talk about our hats first. Like, that's what we're going to do. I think that's something we should just do in general is talk about what we're wearing. It's called a lot of hats because we like hats. And so we out here with a lot of hats. And so today's hats are sponsored by GG Pip. I'm excited. I was able
super
to
nice.
All of the hats at once, and I was really mad because I saw Tierra's pics. And I was like,
you sure you?
I didn't get the right ones.
You did.
I love my hats. Yeah. Not say that. I love my hats, but there were so many to choose from. So I chose based on my weaknesses in my collection. But I was like, oh, I need that one too. So be sure to follow GG Pip.
Right.
So what's your favorite out of the four that you have?
This one I'm rocking. So I've been rocking this.
Like, what color? That's the mustard one, right?
This is the mustard. So it's funny. You got all the ones, like your weakness. I did the same. So I got color hats. Because, you know, I usually wear my black or dark gray. So, yeah, I'm going with color this summer because it's hot girl summer. And stuff.
Malaya
so
said
I'm
it's
to be
the Capri
cute.
Short natural.
Yes. Okay. There we go. Capri Sun, Capri Short, and all that.
I really like. I like GG Pip because it's a quality hat, but it's not expensive, as compared to some of my other ones. And so, folks are showing us love. What's up, James? What's up, Malaya? What's up, Ash?
Hi.
Saw
Sulaiki.
Some other people. Rhonda's what in up? Here. Hats are great to hide all of your situation that you got going on.
Yes, child.
I got a little situation story. So I just came back from Aruba. And I was super excited to be there, but I was a little hyped. So I got my hair done to go, and then my stylist lives in Texas. Shout out to Miss J. So I booked myself another appointment for this Friday, thinking my hair after the water would be thrown.
Right.
Hair is not throat.
Oh, no.
Look at this. You I said, okay? She snatched my hair so much that it doesn't need to be done. I was in the ocean.
Oh,
I
yeah. Was in... You good, girl.
I know. I really thought I was going to get my hair done. And so I was like, I got to cancel. She was like, don't be in the heights next time. I knew you wasn't going to need it done. And I was like,
right. Right. So I'm chilling.
So
that's good. Yeah. So you did, you were doing it up in Aruba. How was it? How you feeling?
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. And you went with your best friend, which ties into today's episode and friends and
your tribe.
Yes. Trips and friends. Yeah. I haven't taken too many trips out of state with my friends.
Y'all stayed. Yeah. So good. I can't hear that.
Yeah, I haven't done like, no, maybe once or twice I've done like overnight in another state, but how is that? Do y'all travel a lot together?
We do, okay. When we can. We normally, yeah, because, you know, because of film, and we both do film, we often have to go places, and okay. Alan is not a traveler. He said he's going to be a traveler when he turns 40.
What? What's up, Carl?
And so he was mad because he thought we were going to Mexico, and we definitely told him we were going to Aruba because he said right. He would have came.
Right.
And so aww. I was like, I told you Aruba, you was there right. When we booked it. And so, yeah, no, we travel often together because we have to travel for business and stuff, but right. We also just like to get away. And I'm a traveler, and yeah,
I'm with
you're a traveler too. Where have you been? Because you just went back to, California. So tell us about Cali.
Cali's been cool. So I'm back out here working on another kind of installation with the Chitlin Circuit project. So we're doing live concerts literally at the same spot my installation was in February. So I'm back on the promenade. And yeah, we're, you know, doing the music summer thing. I did go to San Diego for the day, like a couple weeks ago with some of my friends, but, yeah, I'm thinking about either going to Seattle or Portland at some point while I'm out here, cause flights are cheaper from LA out there. Okay. So I might go to one of those two spots and do a little, you know, weekend self-care getaway.
What's trip. The flights like from there? Because they're like $600 from here.
Right? Right. They be like under 100. You know, I be on skip lag, y'all.
You know. Yeah.
They be like 69. Well, I got checked now because flights is out of control now that like everything's technically back open.
Yeah.
So, yeah, flights are getting back high. But, yeah, I mean, you could usually, I be finding them from out here for like under 100. So, I hope I could find something while I'm here.
That's an idea to fly from there.
Yeah, it's much cheaper. And so I was going to try to do like fly from like LA to Portland and then do stay there for a couple of days and then do a bus. They got like a mega bus that's cheap to Seattle. Mm-hmm. And then fly back. So I may try to do that little, you know, shindig. We'll see. We'll see what it's looking like. I'm always trying to find the cheapest way to travel the world or travel the state.
Well. You do it well.
I ain't got no kids, so I gotta hurry up.
You
gotta
listen.
I gotta do it.
That's my thinking. I'm like, well, we ain't got no kids yet, so
yeah. Look, take care. You know, it gotta be rich auntie vibes out here.
Facts. So
rich auntie vibes.
So this episode is gonna dive, and you stay on a megabus.
I do. I look. Megabus is my friend. I remember one time, child. I found a $20 flight from Philly to Atlanta, stayed there for a couple days, then got a mega bus from Atlanta to New Orleans for $5. Like, I've been on some adventures. It was like an overnight ride. So it left at like 11, 12 at night, and then yeah, we got there like 7 or so. So it's an overnight ride, but... You know how, like, they do them Russian roulette type things? You get, like, a dollar seat or something. I ended up getting, like, a $5. Child, look, I was out here, and I had a good old time.
It sounds like you was, I ain't gonna fry. I went to Chicago on the train. I'm going, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ways. It's ways to travel. Like, definitely go on skip lag. I know we going off subject, but for the travelers, go on skip lag. Google Flights is getting in the mix now, too. And then they'll just lay out, like, basically what the cheapest day to fly out. So if your schedule isn't as flexible where, like, you got to fly on a certain day, I just pick the cheapest day to fly in and fly out, and I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, somebody said don't trust her for hotel recommendations.
Oh, yeah. We stayed at this hostel. Never stay on, like, a strip, a popular strip ever. Your head because we stayed on South Beach one time at this hostel pre-COVID, and it was a disaster. So don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, I did. You stayed at a hostel? I did stay.
I would never.
Yeah. I've had good experiences.
No. My black right mind would never think, like, no, I ain't got no protection. I ain't got no lock on my door. No.
Yeah, I'm like, there's this one hostel called, I can't remember the name. But anyway, it was first time I went, and they put me in a room with three Turkish dudes. The first time I went, they put me in a room.
That's exactly what I was doing.
So usually, like, it's like four beds, right? So I'm like, oh, whatever. And I thought they just automatically put the women together and separated co-ed. But no, they put me in a room with three Turkish dudes. I waited till they all left the room, and I went down to the office like, you need to move me now. So they moved me. But yeah, other than that, like, it was good. I'm so mad I can't remember the name. But it's clean and, like, most hostels, it's like 12 to a room and stuff like that. But four is cool. And sometimes it's only one other person. So it just depends on, like, when you go.
Like, this is a normal thing for you. So
I've only done it, like, just two or three times. Only in Miami, though. I haven't done it in other. Yeah.
In Miami? Oh, you're crazy. Yeah. You're way more trusting than me. What's up, Oso?
Yeah. Nope. Yo. He said, nope.
Nope.
Yeah, I never told my parents, though, that I've stayed at a hostel.
Tiara, you're not going to
I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm so mad I can't find a name, though, because they're actually, like, you can get private rooms at this particular hotel, too, but they were, like, cleaner and really nice than most. I'm going to have to find it and we'll post. But, yeah, they were good. But
it's like almost every episode something leads back to the Airbnb incident. No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But no. See, with Airbnbs too, I'm cautious now. It. Yeah, because, like, people got spirit. They rooted in these houses. So sometimes, like, I remember one time I stayed at this one Airbnb in Charlotte, and I mean, the girl had all types of paraphernalia around the crib, so I'm like, oh, man, what did I get myself into? It was one of them shared situations, and that week I came home, I just was not feeling right in my spirit at all. So after that, I'm a bit more cautious with Airbnbs even.
But you're not cautious with the hostels.
No, I mean, that was years ago. I haven't been to one since. Okay. I usually just get hotels now. Yeah, They're weird too. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you gotta find a way to just save money. So, I mean, but it was an experience though. I mean, I was safe. I felt safe. So it wasn't. One of the girls tried to get me to go, like, pole dancing with her, but other than that, it was cool. It was cool. I mean, you know, I was on my little
head. Yo,
she did. Story. She invited me to go pole dancing.
This story just came from.
She invited me to go pole dancing.
It's just amazing. Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know.
Your friends have to be up for.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't need much. You know, I just try.
I need a bitch. Now, I'm pretty thuggy.
Right. You like, nope, I'm not. I mean, but that's why I'm more mindful now. Like, right. That's why I asked, like, how are you when y'all traveling together with friends? Because, yeah. I mean, I'm usually traveling by myself, so I'm not, I'm just considering me and what I'm comfortable with. But, yeah, like, I know everybody can't be in that situation.
So, you know, I think one of the things, and we could dive right into the episode on that, right? Like,
uh-huh. Somebody said start carrying oil. Sorry.
Yes, start carrying, Felicia said start carrying oil.
All right, I got you.
So, this episode is going to dive into friendship and how to choose people that are safe to do life with and work with. And I'm really excited because I'm sure that we're going to talk about safe people, Henry Cloud, Dr. Henry Cloud's book. Because he be dropping bars and gems.
Yo, yeah, child.
So do us a favor.
Child.
With all your IG folks. She got it available.
Get this book. Get this book.
This is not an endorsement, but you should read
it. I know it's not, but we going to talk about it. Get this book.
Indeed.
That's a free gem.
So I think for us traveling, I think the first time we traveled together is when I kind of like learned her as a traveler, right? Mm. Because everyone has like different requirements and things.
Yeah.
One of the things that we realized that she prefers a hotel, not an Airbnb. And if it's an Airbnb, she wants a certain kind of hotel. I'm over the years, I have become more bougie, more bougetto. So my requirements are hard to, are a little harder now than they used to be. If we're traveling with other people, because we've traveled with other people before, and Malay gotta have a separate bathroom. Right. This one trip, we missed out on like some good prices because she wouldn't say yes to anything. And she's listening. And we ended up, and I was like, Malaya, you don't have to get dressed in the bathroom. Because when she goes out, Malaya gonna drip it up. She's gonna do what she do.
Right.
And so I think sometimes, you know, learning what your friends like and, you know, taking into consideration what other people like and what they don't. Like, I'm about to go on a trip with some of my coworkers, right? So we're happy hour coworkers. We're really cool with each other type coworkers. Mm-hmm. And so now this is going to be kind of like, well, what do you like? What don't you like? I was like, well, me and Alan we need to be able to Instagram our Airbnb type people. Like, it need to be
right.
Right. And so, but them, some of the things that they showed me, I was like, yeah, no, that ain't. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, no, that ain't.
That ain't, yeah.
That's too much wood. So you're kind of like understanding, you know, what people like and what people don't like. I don't want to go out every time. And so that's something that you say in the beginning. Like, sometimes inside. So I think, you know, having real friends is being able to be really honest with them. Right. And with travel, you have to, because people have had like nightmares traveling. Like even, especially when you go to places like Miami and stuff, you see people traveling together and you see people faint faced because they outside the streets and they don't want to be in the streets. And so, but you've traveled with your friends, maybe not out of state. So what is it like traveling with your friends?
Yeah, I mean, no, so now that I think of it, me and my best friend, we have gone to New York before and stayed overnight. And she's much more, you're right, particular and pristine about everything than me. Like, I remember we checked in our hotel and she, like, I think she pulled out one of them lights to, like, check the mattress and stuff. And I'm like, girl, like, she's very neat freak, like,
I thought,
you know,
about
she is together
trip.
So yeah, like, going on those things, you learn more about, like, you know, just people live, you know, because they're essentially kind of showing you how they live in their personal space too. So me, I'm like, it's something that I'm working on too, because I'm like, yo, just find the cheapest thing without like being too crazy and ghetto. Just find the cheapest thing, the easiest thing. You know, you're going to be out most of the day anyway. You just sleep in there for a few hours kind of thing. Whereas some people, like, that's a part of the experience too. So I'm just like, yo, just get the best price and let's keep it moving. Like, I'm not, you know, not to say not that people complain. Yeah, but I'm just like, let's just find something. Now I'm more like, okay, I want to stay something nice, like, just spend the extra whatever. But for the most part, I'm looking at, like, price matters to me a lot in budgeting. So I'm more so like, I don't know. I guess I prefer to just travel alone, because you do hear horror stories of like friends like never speaking to each other, or something happens when you travel. And I could see that happening when, like, right, there's a lot of compromise. And if you don't have those type of friends where you can be honest, or y'all can compromise together, where that everything is not all on one, what one person wants to do, where they want to eat, what time they want to get up. You know what I mean? Like, if you got people that are flexible, I think it could work. But then sometimes you'll find out if you have those type of friends when you put yourself in that situation.
So traveling and living together and working together.
Really, yeah, y'all. Yeah.
So we're completely different tried. Look, we tried and true in like real ways.
Yeah.
But I tend to work with my friends in general. Like, if you're my friend, sooner or later, we're going to work together somehow. Right. Mm. And so, or live together. Or travel together. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what happens is those things that you have issues with before just get exposed on trips if you've never talked about them.
Yeah.
Let's go back to this because she brings up a very important point.
Yeah.
We did a whole episode. Did we release self-care journal?
Not yet. Okay. That's coming.
So we did a whole episode on self-care journal. That's coming to you guys soon. And yeah. We talked about all the things that Tierra does for her self-care. This is the question that I have about your cheapness while traveling.
Yeah.
Because some places, I think the places that you choose that are long-term ones, like the ones that you stay in for a month, you're a little bit more picky. So what's the difference between your long-term places and costs and I'm out in another place that I ain't never been joining? Why are you so cheap? Like, why you be so cheap?
I don't know. Well, I think part of it is I don't know if I, like, because I have not just that, like, I have really bad buyer's remorse, too. Like, you know, I take stuff back. So, I don't know. Part of it is, like, do I deserve this, right? Because I'm thinking, like, I could be putting money here or saving it or I need to do this. Or because I am, like, full-time in my art, like, I don't have a consistent weekly check coming in every week, every 2 weeks. So I have to budget my money out sometimes 6 months in advance. Like, my bills are usually paid up 6 to 12 months in advance because I don't know when my next project is coming in, yeah. You know? And so sometimes it's hard for me to just, like, splurge. And I'm like, bruh, if I spend too much, I might not have enough, you know, in 4 or 5 months to pay my bills. So I'm, like, just trying to find how to spend the least amount. But at the same time, I'm learning to, like, get what you need. Don't go for the cheapest thing just because it's cheap. Like, get what you need, get what you want. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think, I don't know why I just, like, go for the cheap, like.
You don't do that in no other part of your life.
What?
What,
getting cheap stuff? Well, yep. Even my self-care be, like, I be finding $20 Groupon. So, that's not as expensive as people think it is. I mean,
if you look at you, look like you live in a lavish.
You gotta. I mean, you if you find the right stuff, it's not that something. I don't want to use the word cheap with inexpensive. Some stuff is just inexpensive versus cheap. So everything I do,
it's a value issue for you with going away.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, most stuff. Now, like I said, even at the, like, hostel situation, it was nice. It was really nice. It was just that, okay, it's three other people in the room if you've been in college. And I was still in my 20s, so this wasn't recent. This is, like,
okay.
Almost 7-8 years. Yeah. I was still in, like, my 20s doing this. I don't do it now in my 30s. Now I'm like, yo, just spend the money. It's okay. Like, it's okay.
Money.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm breaking that out of that mentality, and I don't know if it's an issue where I just feel guilty, you know, if I just spend too much money or something, then I'm just like, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's not responsible. But
that's an interesting. These are all very interesting statements you're making.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's really interesting, right? With podcasts, because sometimes we'll bring things out and then you'll go try to do the things that we brought out, like what you thought about, why you said what you said and stuff like that. So yeah. I want to see, like, if you travel with some friends out of state, because I know you do, like, local stuff. And so,
yeah,
I would say at least try it with people that you're actually friends with. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's that thing between shallow versus deep relationships.
Right. Right. Cause I'm not going out with everybody. That's not going to happen.
You cannot travel with everybody.
Not at all.
Yeah, no, you can't travel with everybody. Some people can't travel with their spouses. Like, because there's a different vibe you have when you travel, and everybody has different agendas and stuff like that. So everybody's agenda has to kind of, like, merge somehow, and there has to
That's be so true. That's so true. And I'm like, I guess when it comes to stuff like that, especially as an adult, most of my travel and stuff, I do alone. So I'm used to, in a sense, to be on my own rhythm, wake up when I want, eat at what restaurant I want. So now, you know, and like, even in college, I had my own dorm all 4 years. I never had a roommate. You know what I mean? So I'm just...
How did you pull off all...
Oh, girl, I don't believe in roommates. So I don't know what I'm going to do when I get married. I don't believe in roommates. I never shared a room growing up. I never had a roommate in college.
You and your brother share an apartment. Y'all never hardly there at the same time?
No, never. He just got back from Mexico, Aruba, something today, and now he's back. He usually stays out somewhere else with his friends when he's here. So, and then he goes back home next week. So, yeah, like, we may be here together a week or two at the most, but, like, he's never here. So, I'm just always alone. You know what I mean? I'm just always alone. Like, I hang out with, I'm hanging out more with my friends here and getting out. But it's just like,
he was out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like, shout out to my homie Johnny and Paul. Like, they get me out the house, and my homie Rasan, when he's here. But especially that first year I was out here, like, I was either in the house or just roaming the city by myself. So, yeah, I think, like, being more mindful of, like, inviting people out. Even small things. I'll, like, call my friends, like, hey, I'm running errands today. Like, you want to go with me? Because usually I'm just, like, I just go pick up by myself, but I'm trying to incorporate and connect with people more.
That is so, I'm so proud of you on that. I'm so proud. Because that was not something. So, okay, number one, we all want to know, how did you swindle a freshman single? That's a swindle.
So see, Brandy, my girls from college in here, they know. Britt had a single. Look, speak up for me, Britt. She had a single all 4 years, too. We went to Chestnut Hill College. So there were certain rooms and different dorms where it was single. So we would share, my senior year, I did share a bathroom with somebody. But, yeah, all the other years, they had, like, a certain amount of rooms in each dorm that was single. So, yeah, I wasn't doing I was not doing the roommate life.
We were
and
not.
And we survived. Yeah.
At Rutgers, we were not allowed to have a single till junior year.
Really? Oh no, nah, man.
And I had to swindle my junior year single.
Wow. All 4 years.
Unless you are RA. Now, now let's talk about shallow friends versus deep friends, right? Mm. So I thought I had a really deep friend. And so we were friends in eighth grade. And this is, you know, she wanted a reason why I'm jacked up now.
Yeah.
And having to work through some stuff. Because my therapist had me, like, do a chart of just, like, you know, incidents in your lives and stuff like that. And so I realized on my chart, and we both realized that I had a lot of splintered relationships and a lot of things that happened in relationships. Mm-hmm. And so we were really cool in 7th and 8th grade, like, really tight, always with each other, always. Went to the same school, 7th grade, didn't go 8th grade. On the phone, as soon as we got home, she come over, I go over, that kind of stuff. Actually, I never went over her house. Mm-hmm. Indication. She was always at my house.
Mm-hmm. Tina, what was going on?
No, that wasn't unusual for me and my friends, because my house was the come one, come all house. Always has been, always was. And so, 9th grade, I moved and she moved and we kind of lost touch. This was pre, you know, cell phones, call people. I didn't have her number. I'm sending letters to my friend to give to her because they went to the same school. Long story short, we didn't talk for 4 years.
Wow.
We reconnected in college because I went to, at Rutgers, this girl was cool with me, and we went through the EOF summer program, and mm-hmm. So it turns out she knew her. I was like, oh, let me get her email address because it's email time, so we emailed each other. I went and visited her at her college. You know, we started hanging out again, and then next thing I know, she's like, yo, I want to transfer. Cool. I'm going to come to Rutgers. Cool. We should room together. Cool. So we room together, and I've always been I'm okay to room with in a sense. Like mm-hmm. we communicate, we good. So rooming together wasn't crazy, right? But she was a little off, and so she was actually a very shady person, is what we discovered later on in life.
Wow.
And so I realized, you know, it was on the surface a deep relationship. I mean, like, on the surface, it looked like we had a very deep relationship. Mm-hmm. But below, it was very shallow. And shallow. As I look back on it and stuff like that, it was very belittling in a sense, because she always tried to make me feel like I was lower than her in some way. Okay. And so, I've always been the type to introduce my friends to my friends type thing. So I introduced my friends to my friends, only discovered that she tried to take all my friends. So that was a very interesting situation that, actually took me and my friends in college years to heal from and to kind of like walk through, because things were being said that both of us didn't, that we all didn't say, but she was saying stuff. That's a whole nother situation. And I think even, she was even close to my mom. Everybody close to my mom though. And so she was like, why are you friends with her? And so I don't think she necessarily did everything intentionally, but I think there were things that were going on with her that then spilled over for whatever reason
into the friendship.
And so, yeah. So when did you, so you've always been so independent. And so for me, because I went to so many schools before I was in ninth grade, I went to 13, it's part of my story. I went to 13 school before I was in ninth grade. So finding friends was always a hard thing, always moving. So I would have friends in certain places who would then come and chill with me. What's up, Gladys? Gladys says,
hey, Miss G. Hey, Miss G.
She said, come check, hang out with her. Hit her up.
Yes. Miss G's the coolest. And if you need real estate, too, in L.A., hit her up.
Hey.
Yeah, she's a great real estate.
If you got agent. Money. So,
if you ain't money. Cheap like me, you'll want to stay in the hostel. Hit Miss G.
You know what? And so, I think... I don't even know what I was saying.
You were saying, you've moved around a lot, so it was hard to connect with people.
Yeah, and so I think I also, one of the things that my best friend now, she helped me see recently, because I had a situation with a person within the last year that was like, you need to let this human go, right? Mm. And I wasn't letting go, right? I'm trying to fight for it. Can y'all make me some hats? No, we don't. These are Gigi Pitt.
yes, hit them up.
I think for me, even having to let go of this person, one of the things that I had to do was realize, number one, I'm a good friend, right? Because a lot of people, I don't really do shallow relationships. I'm like a politician, though. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I can make people feel like they know me because I don't mind being transparent. But that doesn't mean that we necessarily have a deep relationship. So how do you balance a deep and a shallow relationship? And what does that look like for you, being an independent person and being, someone that is to themselves?
I have no problem having shallow friendships. In fact, I think I need more because,
I need more shallow.
Yeah, I need more shallow friends. Well, yeah, I probably need more shallow friends. And I think we touched on this at some point in the season of season one, where I was saying it feels like harder connecting with people, right? Having these deeper relationships. And so, yeah, I've been building on that. And I'm like, yeah, I am at this point right now, I do need to take some step back emotionally and just reevaluate a lot of the friendships around me. And also give myself permission that, everybody that comes into my life doesn't have to be deep. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be full transparency, full vulnerable. There are some people that, we just might talk about the weather and that's okay. You know what I mean? And so I'm giving myself even that grace of cause sometimes too, when you there may be conflict in certain relationships and then you're like, man, I got to talk to them. I got to work on this. But even now I'm like, wait, before I work on this, do I even really want this person in my life? Honestly, or not even, and not to say that they're a bad person. It's just that maybe I don't have the capacity right now to go deeper. Right. Because I think I expressed there is a certain level of commitment and just vulnerability that I do give to the deeper relationships in my life. And so if I'm trying to exert that, energy everywhere, I'm burnt out. So I'm just learning to say, evaluate, okay, yeah. And even understanding it's only certain people in my life that I only talk to certain things about, you know what I mean? It's certain friends that I only go to about work and creative stuff. You know what I mean? Because we can connect. It's certain friends that I only talk about relationship stuff. It's only friends that I talk about faith stuff. You know what I mean? So it's even having those pockets of friends where you can be, you know, safe with people, but then also giving myself that grace of like, yo, like, yeah, it's cool to talk about the weather and nothing, like, I don't gotta go deeper and like, how's your parents doing? How's your heart doing and all that? Like, I don't got time for that, you know? And I'm telling myself that it's okay because I've always, you know, wanted to present myself of like this ride or die, committed friend, count, you know, reliable and just this perfect friend to everybody that comes. And I can't do that. Cause it's exhausting.
How's your heart doing?
I don't know.
No. I think that connects to a few things. Number one, I thought about the scripture, you know, our desire to live rightly in the scriptures. I think number two, our desire to see people flourish. But I think you tweeted something today, and I like to unpack even that with friendship, right? And you spoke about, like, because you're trying to be the only Bible, you know, you may be the only. I thought when you tweeted that, I started to think theologically about it for the first time, for real, for real. Like, you're the only Bible that people may see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how? That, number one. But number two, do we try to live in front of people unflawed lives in order to reflect Christ, or instead of just living your life where it reflects Christ? And I think sometimes we try to be extremely deep because we're trying to reflect Christ, but we're trying to do it, right? Mm-hmm. I got to check on this person. Yo, check on all your friends. But at the same time, what I started to do personally was I started to kind of like take a step back. Like, who's checking on me?
Yeah. And that's unbalanced relationships.
Yeah, and so how do you get to the place where you're now like, how do I give myself freedom, right, to be a good friend to those who I'm called to right now, right? And give yourself the freedom that I don't have to be savior and friend to everyone. So yeah. What has that process been like for you?
I mean, right now it's just connecting with myself, and like I said, part of that is in connecting with myself, kind of disconnecting from others right now. Like, it's something I've been like unpacking with my therapist of this need to be a perfectionist and a, like I said, you know, patient and loving and all suffering and patient with people. And part of it too, right, is growing up through that lens of through faith, where I've been told in sermons like, oh, you're going to be the only Bible people read. You know, people are watching your life. You're an example, you know, an example of purity, or this is, you know, the way Christians should live, or this is how they should talk. This is whatever. This is what they should listen to. You know what I mean? You want to be mindful and all those things. Right. And what you do, you think you're doing out of a pure heart of saying like, oh, well, yeah, like, I don't want to just be out here wilding because, yeah, people are looking up to me in a certain way. But it also, I feel like for me, it's made me disconnect from a lot of things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To the point where I'm like, even little stuff. Like, I might be listening to a song and it has cuss words on it, but I'm like, what would my Christian sins, if I, you know, posted this on my IG, like, that wouldn't be a good look, or somebody else, you know what I mean? And that's a lot, especially, like, coming, like, growing up in this, being taught yeah. these things at a young, impressionable age,
mm-hmm.
and see how it shapes you, and feeling like, man, if I say I'm struggling in this, if I say I'm weak in this, if I say, like, I don't have a Bible scripture to give for that, like, am I going to be judged? Is, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know. And sometimes, even with the slightest things, like, if I cuss in front of my friends, they're like, oh, my God, like, you cussed? You know what I mean? Like, even those things. So then it makes you, like, close up. Like, dang, like, if I show an ounce of humanity, like, I'm going to be looked at. Because a lot of people, like, even growing up, and I had this conversation with a friend a few weeks ago where they was just like, yo, like, growing up, you were always like the perfect kid. So I never knew, like, you was going through a lot of things I would have never expected. And I'm like, everybody going through stuff. You know what I mean? But it was like, in a sense, this mask to keep up and say like, oh, I got to present myself a certain way because people are watching me. And if I go outside of those lines, now my, what's the word that's, you know, I'm ruining my testimony. You know, we hear that a lot in a faith circle. I can ruin my testimony or, so, you know, all this, it's just baggage, it's burdens. It's heavy to like carry.
And so I think one of the things that we can kind of like go back to, because somebody was like, that's why I don't let my son go to church often. I think if you listen to our previous episodes, a lot of this is from a spiritually abusive place, right? And how we're taught to have friendships. Because so, for example, I can give you an example of the spiritually abusive church that we were in. I was pretty much separated from all my friends and family, and pretty much told even my Christian ones who were living and walking rightly, right? We're not good. You can't. One of the things that they said was, you can't be friends, best friends with somebody who doesn't go to this church, because y'all not learning the same thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so legalism will cause that kind of stuff to be rooted in you. And so I was talking to Rob this week about it, last week about it. And I was like, you know, we have to stop monitoring people's behavior, because it's heart change that causes people's behavior to stop. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, like, I know some believers, right, who love Jesus, but I know they be drinking and doing some other stuff, right? And not, you know, all crazy, but they don't show it, because immediately if you show something and you just show the real you, the amount of judgment that comes is incredible. Like, we saw it with Chandler Moore. It's like, his wife was backing it up. That's his right. wife.
That's his wife. So you can't do nothing in the marriage bed or out. Yeah, that was wild.
It's not even with the marriage bed. It's the concept of what people see.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when it comes to our friendships and our relationships, we often get like these hiccups because our friends see, and we see more of our friends because we see ourselves, and then they see us too.
Yeah. So
it's so many different layers of this. And it's like, do I just live... Do I be freely who I am, or do I put on a front for you? And then when you see it freely, then you begin to judge me. So I think what it really is at the end of the day with some of this stuff is legalism, right? Yeah. And so, did you feel like you were being perfect, like when you were a kid, or now?
Oh yeah. I mean, that was where part of my validation came from. You know, getting the good grades. You know, parents don't have to check on me. And when you're validated and celebrated in that, you know, I've kind of always been praised from a young kid. Even now in my career, in the following, in the reach, and those things that I've had, just always receiving praise. And so it's something interesting that, like, I was talking with my therapist, and she kind of checked me on it of, like, you know, do you present this version of yourself to fulfill people's expectations of what you should be, and checking my ego in that. And part of it, I'm like, dang, yeah, I guess I do, because me showing anything else, you know what I mean? I haven't had a lot of experience having constructive criticism or having somebody really call me out and say, hey, you need to work on this, right? Because I've been praised most of my life. It doesn't mean that I don't, and ironically, I do want that, but it feels so like...
your friends don't call you out, or do you not see them?
I do have some, yeah. Oh, he just came in, Manny. He put the star. He's definitely one in recent years that I think out of all of my friends, he is just the most balanced friendship I've ever had to where, right, he's not afraid to call me out on something. And he also, the way that he gives, you know, safe, and you got to be careful with, you know, because some people, you know, just hating if they're trying to criticize. That's a difference.
And that's a
red flag to look for too. People who are just so critical and sometimes it might not even be against you, but if you see how they treat others and other things, just so critical, like, that's a definite red flag. But there's a way that you can do it in a safe way. And so when, like, Manny does it, for instance, it's always like some type of resolve at the end of it. It's not just like, oh, you shouldn't have did that, you know? It's like, oh, okay, well, think about it differently. Have you thought about this? Like, maybe, you know what I mean? And so that, I'm like, I can take that. But it's just like, I don't know. It, like, it always used to annoy me when I, like, early when I would, like, post pictures and stuff and people just like, dope, dope, that's dope. I'm like, give me, like, feedback. Like, if we were in an art class, like, is the composition right? It's, like, people just like, no. And so you just learn to be like, all right, whatever. Like, sometimes the praise gets old and you like, yeah, I've heard that before, but you're like, well, what do you really think? Because then it feels like people aren't truly being honest with you to share like how they really feel. And I guess sometimes we do that to spare people's feelings. We're just like, oh yeah, that's good, that was great. And you know, it's like, child, yeah. So I'm really mindful that like when I give my friends a compliment, I make sure that it's genuine, you know, even if they're like selling stuff, if I don't buy something, because everything is not, you know. And that's another thing, people be mad that like their family and friends don't, if they're selling t-shirts, they don't buy them. It's like, they're not for everybody, you know. But when I do buy something, when I do support, you know, it's genuine, you know what I mean? You know that it's because I really like it, not because I feel bad that you're my friend and I'm like, oh, I'm just going, you know, buy their little lemonade for a dollar and try to help them. You know, like, this lemonade has too much sugar. Like, the you know, but yeah, I just, yeah. So, I mean, I think that, yeah, that encompasses kind of that portion. And, but yeah, it's a lot with just the legalism and the feeling of that. And I just feel like it's made me in past relationships like try to love people past their red flags, right? And so you see that someone isn't consistent or someone isn't true, and so you as the believer, you're like, man, let me love on this person, right? Let me be patient and stick it in with them. And you know, it's like, this person has a bad character. Like, you should have been dropped, you know what I mean? But
it's not even always bad character. Like, some people are like, I think one of the questions was like, have you ever been jealous of a friend? Has a friend ever been jealous of you? Mm. And so I think people's unchecked envy and jealousy often cause them to sabotage the relationship that they have with you, mm-hmm. right? And so I think, I know for me over the years, because of that, having gone to so many different schools, I'll put up with people. Like, I'll put up with people. I'm probably too honest. I'm working on it. Because everybody don't want your honesty, right? Some people just want the fluff. And mm-hmm. I think balance between, like, what do people need? Because some people can't digest your honesty, right? So mm-hmm. those are the people that you kind of, like, you keep them, you know, shallow, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then there are people who really need your honesty, whether it's receiving like a check from your homie, like, yo, when you did that was trash, right?
Yeah.
Or checking your homie, right? Yeah. And I think a part of that is having healthy relationships and defining what's a safe person and right. what's a not safe person. And when you see these red flags of your homie being jealous of you, or somebody you thought was your homie being jealous of you, you mm-hmm. gotta listen to it. And I think especially as people who are often in front of people, that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
have you experienced that, of like someone being jealous of you?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. I think a little too much, right? And I early, yo, so I've always been a person that Alexa said, I love your honesty. No, some people love it, right? Mm-hmm. Some people love it. Some people, I can use Myra, I can use great words and it's like burning coals to them underneath mm-hmm. their feet. Mm-hmm. Because some people don't want to know about themselves unless it's just praising them, mm-hmm. right? And I generally, you know, now I got some tact, right? Before I used to be tactless. Like, I used to be like, yo, you prideful. Mm-hmm. And people don't want to hear stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. it's okay. Like, I get it. But mm-hmm. what you're saying seems very prideful. And it's okay. God's grace is sufficient for our weaknesses. But it's just good that we all see some, you know, see where we really are. We don't really want to see where we really are. And I think a part of the issue that I realized is that it's not you, it's them in some cases, right? And so everybody is not a bad person who doesn't have a deep relationship or can't, you know, fully communicate with you. Right. But over the years, I'm especially since like Single Anxious season one, mm-hmm. you would thought I blew up out of the sun, right? it was like people will just start to clamor, and mainly for opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just an open-handed person, so I'm like, yo, come on in, we can get this together type person. Mm-hmm. But the more I started to kind of like see, like people started going off and making their own stuff, which is not
yeah.
a problem, but you're not ready.
Right.
Like, I'm right. very ready. And you right. have a quarter of the knowledge I have. Like, right. keep learning and doing, but then you, like, yo, I seen some stuff.
Dang.
I think what I learned to do is spot the jealousy early on, because, like, when we're always going to keep saying say people. So when we're saying say people, what we're saying is people who are fit, who are physically, emotionally, and mentally safe for you. Right. Right? The book by Henry Cloud, he talks about the different warning signs of what to look for in unsafe people and safe mm-hmm. people. And oftentimes we ignore all of those signals.
Right.
And, like, my right. friends tell me, like, yeah, no. One of my friends is like, he's like, yeah, I don't like that. I'm not going to use the word that the person used. But it was like, nah, I was like, nah, it'd be all right. Like, da, da, da. And so I used mm-hmm. to be like, no, nah, it'd be all right, person. Right? Because I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, the believer.
Right. Right.
I love them. You know, right. I can potentially, you know, but they're every boundary, they're crossing.
Boundary.
And so I think for me, you can spot a jealous person really early on. Right? Mm. Because some people overpraise you, like, and I'm not talking about overpraise, like an old head overpraise you, you know, old heads, you know, they be like, mm-hmm. ah, did, did. But like, no, that really wasn't that good. Like, why are you saying all that?
Right.
And then some people underpraise you and critique everything you do.
Right.
And so one of the relationships that I had, it was the last one, is the person was competing with me in some sense, right? They thought that I owed them some of my success, and I'm like, wow. I don't even take credit for my success. Like, well, I'm giving you credit, right? One who helped you. But right. I saw when I started to reflect with my therapist, she was like, you saw all these warning signs 6 years ago,
right?
Like, why didn't you listen? Because right. in my mind, in my believer's heart, like, I want to love them. Like, all right, I'm gonna just, you know, give them pass on that. All right, that was really whack, and that made me look at you side eyes, but I'm gonna give them
right.
But that's making that is destroying me emotionally, spiritually, physically, messing exactly. with my mind, devaluing me as a person, because exactly. I'm not appreciating my own value at the cost of wanting to be your friend. And you exactly. just messing up my mental. Like,
yeah.
I used to be like, I'm confused.
Wow.
Like, the place where I'm like, I'm confused. That means you need to exit whatever you're confused about. Right?
Yeah.
And so yeah. I think a part of it for me is learning that I'm a good friend, and therefore I need a good friend, right? And so if you're not a good friend, we're not gonna go deep, right? We can be associates. Remember back in the day, be like, nah, that's my associate.
Yeah,
right?
That's
my associate. Like, that's yeah. my home, right? But I'm not gonna be like, yo, you want to go get on the boat with me? Yo, you want to fly over here and stuff like that? Like, mm-hmm. If I don't feel comfortable with you sleeping in my house and my husband,
right?
Mellor,
like, no, yeah,
we ain't really friends, right?
Yeah,
like, we ain't really friends, and so yeah. I'm learning to really identify what is a good friend. And so I will say, like, I've been really blessed to have a really, like, I think even before we kind of like chose this topic, I was like, yo, I got some really good friends. Like, I know that if I get some dough, like, they're gonna be the same people. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's gonna change. Like, I think I weeded out a good portion of them that I don't think
I did, yeah. Right?
Because I think when tragedy strikes, you often see, like, when you're at your highest and when you're at your lowest, you often see, like, where people are.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I hope that many people have many, you know, manies of many waters, right?
Right.
In their lives that they have good relationships with.
Yeah.
Like, and I think one of the things, like, what have you ever experienced a jealous person or someone, or have you ever been jealous of somebody?
I have never experienced it overtly that okay. I was aware of. There are some situations right now actually going on that I feel it a little bit. And so part of that, you mentioned something of, like, sometimes you just have people come along for the ride and then see how it goes, where I'm like, I just like to watch people, you know what I mean? Like, it takes me a while, like years.
Yo, I talked to her for like
to even.
It's like 6 years.
Yeah, it takes me a while to bring people, because I just watch first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I am not as Right. So we talked about even like bringing even the motives of people, right? Of like you said, you had this success and now like people are like, oh, yo. So I'm like,
don't, if you on this live, don't be, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Don't.
It's not cute. It makes you not trust people.
It's not. It's not. And I think it's, and I always say like, it's one of those reasons why, right? Like I like to keep the anonymity of my face, because it's like, right, when people start coming around, now I'm like questioning their motive, like, oh, why are you around, right? Are you, is there some type of come up that you want? Is there, like, what is it that you're after? You know what I mean? Before I'm like, okay, let me just watch this person, you know? Let me observe how they move, what their intentions are, because I'm not so like, oh yeah, come on, yeah, we down for the party. Like, nah, I don't know you, I don't know what you want, you know what I mean? So it does take, and I think that's why too, I mean, the friendships that I have in my life, I mean, me and my best friend are going on 20 years, you know what I mean? My other girls from like college, and so it's like years that it takes to build in to just see the consistency of somebody, you know, to even take it there before you can really deem that person to be safe. And sometimes that comes with testing, right? Like there are going to be situations and trials where, right, you, or maybe you confide in somebody about something and you see, like, I think you give people pieces along the way to see how they react, to see how they'll do with it. You know, is this friendship unbalanced? Am I always the one reaching out and consoling and yeah, being vulnerable, but they never are vulnerable back. Like huge red flag. You know what I mean? If you're always pouring your heart out and there's nothing in return. So just like learning those different, you know, imbalances within friendship. But
You also live in LA. What is, so I was talking to somebody who's living in LA. I got no
friends out here, girl.
And I was, you know, he's moving to LA and I'm like, all right, I know you're moving for opportunity, but I think I need, like, this is my godson. I was like, I think I need to connect you with Tierra just to, you know, like really get a talking to.
Yeah. Right?
Because it's not normal. Like, yeah, it's on a whole nother level. Yeah. And that concept of keep your circle tight is crazy.
It's hard. I mean, I haven't, aside from my homie Johnny, I haven't really connected with native folk. Now, there's a difference because you have, like, people who are native to L.A., which are cool, but then you have all the transplants, right? People come in trying to do their dreams. And so everybody's, oh, what do? You know, like, you meet people, and they don't even ask your name. It's just like, oh, what do? What are you here for? You know what I mean? Would you move to L.A. for, kind of thing? And so it starts off, like, your value is placed in what you can do, you know, are you in film? Are you like, how are you, your value comes in what you can do or how people can perceive what you do. And so I am completely,
is it what you do or what you can do for me?
Yeah. Ultimately, yeah. It's like, oh, let me see what you can do so I can see if that fits into what I'm trying to do out here. Does this fit into my dream? You know what I mean? And so because of that, I'm not a social person, period. So I'm not going out to mixers and going up to people and saying hi. Like, I'm not, yeah, huh? Yeah, I did. And that was like, woo, that was my first and last Juneteenth, okay? But that's my last. That was a lot. But I'm not, so yeah, I'm like typically not that person that's going out initiating. Now, if somebody comes up, or if I'd like randomly spark a conversation with somebody, I'll engage and talk to them. But for the most part, I haven't really like met any, you know, friends outside of there that like are consistent and that show up, you know. And so for me, this goes into a good segue of like the thing that like typically draws me to people. So most of my friendships, the deciding factor, well, in the past, of me going from shallow to deep was always that like that belief factor of what are our faith values? Do our faith values align? Mm. So that's always been the deciding factor of, you know, if I'm going to go deep with somebody, if I'm going to edge on and learn more about them versus not. You know what I mean? Because I've just, yeah, kind of what you said, like, oh, if this person isn't a believer, if they don't, you know, if they're not going where you're going spiritually, then you're unequally yoked. So don't even try it. You know what I mean? And so that has always, I think, kept me from even getting to know a lot of people and maybe missing out on a lot of friendships because I just saw, like, oh, this person isn't a believer. They don't go to church. Oh, nope. You know, I can't be deep with you. You know what I mean? But now that is changing. And so the thing that I typically found the most value or, you know what I mean, just like relating to someone in a deep friendship, now a lot of things in my faith is changing and certain things that I hold standard, you know what I mean, and held as a belief, I'm changing. And so now I'm like, man, what is that going to look like to most of the people I'm connected to now that some of my faith values, you know what I mean, and beliefs are changing? You know, does that change now the dynamic of the friendships if we don't believe the same things no more?
Well, I think, so I'm not going to touch that because sometimes that does, right? Some people need you to believe exactly the same thing that they believe.
Yeah.
And one of the things as the world is shifting and ethics are, it's really ethics are shifting, right?
Mm-hmm. What? Somebody said a Dune Day stressed me out. It did. I did a Dune Day once. That stressed me out.
You know, I did Juneteenth once.
I did Leimert Park, you know, once, and that's it, you know.
What stresses you out about
it? Kind of like the hostel. I don't know, just crowds. A lot of people.
It's social anxiety.
In one place, so, yeah, it just gives me like, eh.
Well, you're a classic introvert, right? Like, there ain't much extrovert to you, like, unless you're cool with somebody, and even when you're cool, you still lay back. Now, you got a lot to say, but you don't, exerting energy around humans is a lot for you.
Yeah, so, it is.
One of the things that I realize is that I think Christians over the years, because it really is rooted in when you first get saved, in a sense, or you first come to the knowledge of Christ and now you want to live right. And all the things that, you know, it's like, I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus and I'm going back, right? And in the beginning, you need that. Like, I needed that. I really wish somebody, when I was a young Christian, explained to me how to still be this new being that I am, this babe in Christ, and not just disrespect all of my friends. Right? And so, like, I had some gracious friends who still love me today. Shout out to my gracious friends who still love me today, that I tried to handle into salvation. But I think one of the things that you do as a believer is you try to cut yourself off from so many people. But because really what you're saying is that you don't want to be influenced by them. You only want to influence them. And I think that's such a dangerous thing.
Oh, yeah.
Good in everyone.
Oh, like, yeah.
When God created us, he created us and he said, it is good. He didn't say it is safe.
Child, yeah, I've learned more things from people that I wasn't supposed to learn from than I've ever with somebody with a Bible in their hand. So, yeah.
But the flip side to that is when they believe, sometimes when they believe what you, they find out what you believe, they then judge you and don't want to be friends with you. It's like, yo, we don't have to believe the same thing for us to be friends and actually have real conversation and like really love each other. Like,
she said the Baptist church would probably judge y'all as literally a Christian Rolling Loud concert. Brand is crazy.
You need a home church.
Brand, yo, yeah, that's that's real. Yeah, you that's true. Yeah, Manny, that's true. That zeal will, you know, push you away. And it too, I feel like that's a lot of pressure.
And draw in fellow zealous, the
little
zealous. Yo,
yeah, true, it does. It does. But then it puts this pressure on you too that
to be perfect.
Everybody, yeah, want to be perfect, and then everybody that you meet has to be a witness or a convert. You know, like, that might not be the reason you met that person. And so sometimes, especially too, coming from that faith perspective, like, we're told this lens, like, yo, you meet somebody on the street, like, you go up, hey, let me talk to you about the Lord. Like, ask that person their name first. How's your day doing? And then that even goes back to, like, something you said earlier where I feel like relationship is so important that gives you that gateway to, right, not criticize, but give critique and give pointers. Because some people just, you don't know that person from the can of paint, but you're ready to speak into their life. Like, you know me. You know what I mean? like, you don't know the, I think when you don't know the context of a person, it's hard to be like, you shouldn't wear zebras when you don't know, like, that person's mom, you know, wore zebras, and it, I'm just saying, like, people speak into other people's life or try to give critique when they don't really have that type of relationship with them. So I think that's important, too.
Let's say critique and not speak, right? Because speak is to encourage, right? And I will personally say, like, especially early on, some people have, it's almost like when you're early on in Christ, Jesus gives you that extra juice early on, right? And so you will, like, I've been able to go up to people and be like, yo, is this you? Is that you? Like, okay, are you struggling with such and such? And they'd be like, yeah. I'm like, oh, well, can I pray for you? Because I felt that, right? So I'm not, and I think there's a balance between the two, like, and just going over and be like, yo, you need to stop doing such and such. Because that mm-hmm. doesn't work, right? We mm-hmm. should know that. Hopefully, some people know that by now. Some people don't know that by now.
Mind your business.
It's a spiritual discipline. And so, how do you, like, how do you balance the desire to guard yourself? And then also, because, like, okay, you're in the season of extra juice. It's true. You'd be giving you the extra juice. Like, you're in a season of, let me step back, not for my friendships, but let me step back in life so I can reevaluate everything, mm-hmm. right? How do you not self-isolate in doing that? And then are you telling your friends you're doing this and why, so that they don't feel abandonment and rejection?
So one, I am just evaluating, like, okay, who is safe, you know, kind of in my life, where are, I'm looking at each friendship in my life and I'm like, okay, is this balance? Do I do more sharing? Do they do more sharing? Like, I'm seeing it from there. And then right now I got my pool of, like, okay, these are safe people. I'm still connecting with them. Kind of everybody else right now, it's just like, all right, I'm falling back. Because part of it too is when you are so connected and focused on other people and their needs, you have no idea what yours are. So I'm like learning myself of, like, yeah, some of these things I've been doing, are they even me? Mm-hmm. You know, if people weren't looking up to you or weren't watching you, would you be doing these? Like, who are you? And so I'm learning of, like, okay, I have to start definitely putting boundaries in place. And that's something that I'm doing in my friendships. A few things with boundaries. To me, boundaries, I've always associated that with, like, dating, romantic relationships, that you will put boundaries in, whereas friendships. Yeah, now I know, like, no, you need that in friendships too, because those are just as, you know, those are important too, those connections. But it's like boundaries have always been a way to, like, get to rejection quicker. You know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, if I state this boundary, like, people are going to think I'm high maintenance. They're going to think, like, I'm doing too much, and then they're just going to be out the door. And so mm-hmm. I already feel isolated within. If I give, you know what I mean, people standards that I really want of my needs, and they're going to be gone, then I'm going to have nobody. So I kind of just, like, settled for what I can get, right, kind of thing. But I'm also just, like, so aside from, like, those people that I'm deemed safe right now, I'm still communicating with them. I'm spending time. And then for everybody else right now, I'm really just, like, feeling, like, how does this person make me feel? Because I think something, too, that, like, I've been so disconnected from, where, like, yeah, because you're just trying to be patient with somebody, or just, you know, be there. Like, you never really stop to think, like, how do I feel when I'm with this person? When I talk to this person, do I feel like, you know, if I ask them for help or do something, do they criticize? Do they, like, are they sarcastic when they do stuff? Like, I'm trying to learn too, like, okay, how does this person really make me feel? And then connect with that, because, like, I've kind of turned that gut feeling. And we were talking about that with, like, the spiritual episodes, like, a lot of things, right, that gut feeling that we get about people, it's always there, but then sometimes, like, when you've learned to turn it off, you just keep going past that red flag, you go past that, like, nah, something ain't right. And so now I'm, like, just reconnecting with myself and be like, yo, I always feel anxious around this person, or nervous, like, something's there.
myself. Or,
yeah, like I'm trying to prove myself.
I don't feel like I can be myself, right?
Exactly.
And so I think really what you're doing as you're being a good friend, or you're learning about friendship and you're learning about being safe, what you're saying is I'm learning how to give myself the goodness that it needs from other humans, because we need other humans. It's understanding like that God has given us an innate desire and it's like a superpower, right?
It is.
Like to see what's safe and what's not. It's like, yo, I don't think I should walk down this block.
To let you know it's somebody on some other shit. Like,
yeah.
That so person.
I think I'm at the point, and I think as you get older, like we're both in our 30s, I'm about to be 42 years, you start to digest things differently, and you start to think about what, at the end of the day, if everyone is gone and it's only me, am I okay with being myself, right? Mm-hmm. And what does being myself look like? So somebody was like, oh, you know, this is this conversation that me and my friends are having about, you know, and it's different for them, right? Because they're in ministry, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yo, you dripping too much, you know, are you focusing on Jesus or are you focusing on your drip? And I'm like, I'm challenging it. Like, are you comfortable in what you're wearing? Mm-hmm. And what you're wearing, are you looking for affirmation? Or are you just like, this is what I like? Like, mm-hmm. it's okay to like what you like. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes, because people are afraid of taking the glory away from Jesus, and it's like, actually, no. Actually, what I wear actually gives some glory, because when people ask me about it, they're like, oh, you present yourself in a certain way. Because I did so long. Like, my husband says, I gave her money to go shopping, and she would go pay a bill. Because for me, man, forget all that. Like, we got to get where we got to go.
Yeah. Right?
So now I'm like, no, I wanna love who I am. I wanna walk. I wanna wear what I wanna wear.
Yeah.
And I wanna be fly, and it's okay. I'm not like, yo, look at me, I'm fly. I'm like, no, I want to dress this body that God has given me as I'm dressing this physically. I wanna dress it in the things that I like, because at the end of the day, I might die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might die. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm also encouraging my friends, like, okay, do you like what you're wearing? Like, when you look in the mirror, are you excited about yourself? Because if you're not excited about yourself, how can we be excited about you?
You do, yeah.
I'm the friend, if I'm like, yo, you kind of look like, are you caring for yourself? Because you look like you're not caring for yourself. Or am I like, okay, I see you. Because I see you, friend.
Yes.
You know, if I'm not. But here's a red flag. Some people will be like, oh, you got new sneaks? Yeah. What's the problem? Like, you have to, like, somebody, I think Mark Lamont Hill posted something like, it's a difference between, he put like, you know, subtle hate, right?
Ooh,
They just, matter of fact, I'm going to go find it because it was so good.
Okay.
And so he was just talking about like the subtle hate that people give in their undertones. And really it's a red flag when they
give. Yeah. Oh yeah. So, especially if a lot of it is massive sarcasm, people will do that too. Always joking, but it's just like, no, that's the passive aggression. If you know what I mean? That people try to slide through jokes or even the subtle stuff. Right. And so but it's criticism.
No, it's criticism. So he said eight so-called phrases that have an undertone of hating. It looked like he took it from a book or something. Number one, I want to be like you when I grow up. Is how. What's up, big time or Hollywood?
Yeah.
Must be nice. So I say must be nice. I don't be hating when I say must be nice. No, I probably be hating.
You be hating. Let's keep it real. We be hating.
No. But what I be like, must be nice. It's like, must be nice to be able to do that. My friends be like, must be nice. Like, yes, it actually is very nice, right?
That's real.
You lucky. I could have been doing the same thing, but I got responsibilities, or I got kids, right? People with kids, they do that all the time. Well, must be nice. I got kids.
Mm-hmm.
How's your little business doing?
Somebody,
it was a pastor too. He's like, yeah, I saw your little show. And I was like, you are on my not safe people now list.
Yeah.
Right? That one little comment made me say, oh,
yeah.
Who was going to hang out with y'all? But now, nope, you're on the list.
Nope.
Like, yep. I don't need to have a conversation about this, right?
Wow.
You already stated your intentions. I'm not going to change, you know, how you feel. You've stated how you feel about me.
Right.
And not like
red flag.
Yeah. The little when people like your little, I'd be like, ugh. It's not really that hard to do.
Then you do it.
Don't forget about me when you blow up. See now when I say that to people, that I really be like, don't forget about me when you blow up. Because I'm trying to come with you. But yeah, so what resonated with you? Like, have you experienced that with people? Because I think also what we're really talking about is not just, you know, friendships, we're talking about red flags.
We definitely got to talk about red flags and then what are even like green flags too, because I think it's important that we give both of those what to look for in people. But you know what? I say I haven't experienced these things a lot overtly because I notice I shrink myself a lot. I don't tell anybody my success. I just go the complete opposite because I don't want my friends to get jealous, right? And so I'm like, dang, if I say this or I'm working with this brand or something, they might, you know, feel some type of way. So in efforts to shield other people, maybe showing jealousy or animosity, whatever the case for me, I just don't say nothing, right? So I dumb myself down in a sense or belittle, you know, myself and accomplishments because I don't want others around me to, you know what I mean, that incite them to some type of thing. And I think that's a lot, too, where, like, yeah, you just downplay everything. You know what I mean? I've been undone stuff. It's stuff I done, and I still ain't share it with my friends. You know what I mean? Some things isn't just like, you know, now I'm always the friend that's doing this and that, and now, so you know what I mean?
Are you shielding your friends from jealousy, or are you shielding you from discovering who your friends really are?
Yeah, both. I think both. Are you doing it
because you don't want to be prideful, or are you doing it?
Well, yeah, that's a big piece too, because right of how humility is just taught is so like
it's messed up.
I am jacked up. I'm gonna just say that I have been really jacked up in this Western church world, and it's not like we said it's not to be like shame on them and it, but I have really been just distorted in a lot of things. And so to me, right, saying your accomplishments, complimenting you, you let others do that. You not dare put yourself out there, or you not dare say that you've done this or accomplished this, because that's prideful, right? And so I've taken that as a ton of folk hitting me. Yeah. No shrinking, you know what I mean? And so that, yeah, a lot of that too has come in that playing that humility card of like, oh, I don't say anything, you know, just keep my head down and keep working, be quiet, don't tell nobody nothing, you know what I mean? Right, it's definitely false humility. And I've been walking in that for a while. And so now it's even, you know, it would be hard to receive compliments, you know what I mean? And it's even hard to acknowledge the greatness in me, you know what I mean, to be like, yeah, I am good. It doesn't mean that I'm thinking higher than other people, but that I'm equal to, I'm here, you know what I mean, that I can be seen as a human. But it doesn't mean that I now need to think of myself, right, I'm better than people. I'm just acknowledging that I'm here, you're here, we're all here, we all have greatness, you know what I mean, we all
have something great about us,
yeah.
So what I'm wondering is, are you, because I know me, I was not showing up as my full self because I shrunk myself to fit in other people's worlds.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So are you now blocking people from experience? So here's the thing. This was something that, like, granted, I don't show everything. People are like, oh, you share everything. I really don't share everything. Right? But what I want people to see is, I want them to see the glow up. Because if you've seen, like, I want you to be able to go back. I want you to Issa Rae me, right? I want you to go back and see where I came from, right? Mm-hmm. And part of me kind of, like, stepping into this is my therapist has been like, dress for where you're going, but dress and show up as yourself now. Like, don't wait. Why would you don't have to? Mm-hmm. And so are you blocking people from being able to see God work in your life by not sharing stuff? Because, like, so because I have the back door to some things with you, I was like, yo, you work with that brand? Like, I wish that would encourage me to send an email, right? And so are you doing that in order to fit into other people's boxes that are no longer in your life, or people who are currently in your life that you need to be like, all right, peace.
Yeah, yeah, I was. Like, there, like I said, there are definitely friends that I do share things with. Maybe it's just not, obviously, in a public setting. I don't necessarily view the internet or Instagram as a safe. Like, I have the green circle. But, you know what I mean? Even outside of that, it's like knowing your levels of, right, commitment and intimacy with people. But there are people in my life, yeah, more so that I've broken out of that mold to share the ups and the downs. You know what I mean? Because sometimes it was just like, okay, at a certain point, I'm like, just sharing the ups. And now I'm keeping, I got to deal with all the downs myself. But now I'm sharing the ups and I'm sharing the downs. You know what I mean? To test those relationships. And I think a lot of that has, like, conflict has probably been the best thing that I've dealt with in my, you know, just friendships and relationships over the years, because I've never dealt with that. I've always avoided conflict. You know, I sense there is tension, you know, like I could pick up on people's energy and their spirits very quick and almost be empathetic to a point where it overtakes me. And so now, like, being aware of this with myself, I got to be like, okay, right, do I want to be a thermometer or a thermostat, right? Am I going to match this person's energy? Because I feel they're starting to pull away from me. So now am I going to pull away and just be like, forget it? Or am I going to talk to them, ask them what's going on? Is there a problem? Am I going to stay consistent? Am I, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's sometimes where I'm like, yeah, I'd be cool. We could go or something. Then you're around a certain person and you just feel their energy. And so now you're leveling down to them like, oh, man, let me not, or let me try to people please and do something to cheer them up. You know what I mean? So that this tension can be gone. But for me, like, I think having some of that tension and conflict has made me, like, test the waters to see, right, who's my friend, who's really safe, who's not safe. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, prior to, I would say within the last 5 years, I was definitely hiding everything, you know, not that I'm like doing something crazy in my basement, but I just felt like, okay, I had to shrink, you know, what I was doing, because I didn't, you know,
basement, though.
Yeah, I've got stuff in my basement, but it's just like, man, if I start sharing this, you know, right, or am I going to get the, oh, you're little, yeah, you're little this, you're little that, yeah.
We're trying to block ourselves from judgment.
Right. Yeah, just rejection too. Yeah, yeah.
But it's rejection, but it's definitely rejection, abandonment, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the rejection is happening because of some form of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some form of not necessarily correcting us, or correction from the perspective of, I want you to be better. I want you to do better. I want you to live better. I want you to be better. But from the perspective of, what you did was wrong, and because what you did was wrong, I can't be around with you no more. And there are very few, and what I think what believers have to realize, there are actually very few things biblically that God does that with people for. And the main things is like idolatry, right? Mm-hmm. And that's mainly only to the believers, not to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think as we kind of like unpacking this stuff, I'm just realizing that we're really unpacking not just friendship, but we're unpacking ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
What do we allow to happen in our lives? Who do we allow to be in our lives? I am no longer the person that I used to be. So if you are comparing me to that person, like she did. But yeah. Actually, some of the things I used to be, and I pushed that person down. Like I was telling when I first started therapy, and my therapist was like, what you want to work on? I was like, besides the incident, like when I came to Christ, I splintered myself. Like Tina no longer exists. Like Tina down, right? And I said, I became two different people. I don't anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have a men tonight, but I
got you what? You said right? You what?
I went and got the grills. I got to go get my
right,
grills.
Right. What'd you say before that? You didn't what?
I didn't put a men tonight. I forgot. I was on the phone with my brother, and he was like, yo, when I saw it, I was like, yo, she back. Because that's something that my former life, right?
Yeah,
family knows me to be not that my family knows me to be like I would have done. Like there's like Tina, right? Because I splintered her. I splintered Tina and Christina, and I separated them. Like I came into Christ, and I was like, "Don't call me Tina no more. Call me Christina."
Right? Yeah.
So like I even made my family do that. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
So, like, how much of that, too, do you think is centered around that, right, this whole die to yourself mentality that we distort? You know, it's like, no, your needs, your everything, you die to yourself, you become wretched, you pick your cross up, and you say, you're like, oh, dang. Right. That has a deep effect, you know, when that's not given correctly.
Biblically, we should die to ourselves, right? But I think the way that we die to ourselves, many of us, especially a certain age of us, was legalism and trying to be salvation, trying to be right, not made right, right? Try to do it for Jesus, not let Jesus do it in us, right? Because to die to myself, as the more I encounter to the love of God, I automatically do it, right? I ain't got to strive to die to myself, right? When Paul said, you know, I consider all things as dung, he actually didn't consider all things as dung from the perspective that we say. Like, oh, I left all that behind. He's like, no, I'm still using it like it still existed. Mm. I was such and such. I did this, I did that. That's in me. I'm probably more this than y'all are, mm-hmm. right? He was saying, I'm not gonna lay claim to that stuff, but it's still rooted in me and it's still mm-hmm. a purpose. It's still a part of how God is mm-hmm. using me. And so mm-hmm. I think for me, I was like, oh, God can't use that in a sense, right? They told me that was wrong. Mm-hmm. And the more I'm living my life, I'm like, oh no, like if that would happen, I don't think I could have been here. Like, oh no, that part matters. And so
that's good. I think
we naturally, spiritually, you will die to yourself the more you fall in love with the great God who saved you, who loves you through all of your foolishness. But I think a part of that is we really be trying to be the Holy Ghost and are dying to ourselves sometimes. And check people for not dying to themselves. I'm like, but Jesus can't check them. I'm like, what are we going to do? Yeah. And so, yeah, I think this was a great episode. What you listening to? He's about to go on.
I'm listening to some old but new JoJo. I got reunited with JoJo. I just randomly wanted to listen to her 2004 album, and then I just, you know, the playlist started playing her new stuff. I'm like, she in these streets too. So
yeah. JoJo was fly. My husband is a huge, huge, huge JoJo fan.
Word? Okay.
He's not a fan of the new album because he likes all the old stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm rocking Jubilee, Maverick City Music. Mm-hmm. The B-side is fire. I'm rocking Lucky Day. Lucky Day.
He's good.
He's amazing. And I haven't gotten to her. I am reading Bamboozled by Jesus by Yvonne Orji. Really good book, far, really encouraging. Mm-hmm. I think I'm really excited about Yvonne, mainly because I think she's willing to live out loud for Jesus. Mm. And it don't always look like what everybody wanted to look like, right? And so I'm excited when Christians do that, right? Because it gives them a place to grow.
Yeah.
You know, what she do right now, she might not do in 10 years, right?
Yeah, yeah. And
so, I'm just trying to appreciate people for where they are, and not judge their theology, because, you know, that's what we do.
All the time, like, man.
Because it don't look like ours, but we want to praise them when they talk about Jesus on the platform.
Right, yeah. That's what's up. So I guess we can, before we go, I guess we could take 5 or so minutes. It was some questions in there. Manny, you had asked the question, if you could repost it, I'm sorry. You asked something, and then the young lady asked something in the beginning, like, how do you find good friends? Mm-hmm. If y'all got any questions real quick before we go, we'll try to answer.
One of the things that Manny said was, are you good friends to yourselves?
Oh, yeah.
And so no. I want to couple that with how do you find good friends?
Yeah, so I think, if we're going back to the me trying to be patient and kind and loving with externally with everybody else, I was breaking all those rules on myself. So I wasn't being patient to myself. You know what I mean? Like, I'm having to relearn how to talk to myself, my inner self, and being critical of myself. So I might not say it to others, but I'm critical of myself. Or I hate being rushed, right? I don't like that, but I rush myself. You know what I mean? And so I was doing something the other day, and I'm getting in the Uber, and the Uber driver had to tell me, like, settle down. settle down. He just said, take your time. He said it when I got in. Yeah. He said it when I got. So even those reminders are like, slow down. But, you know, it's right. It's connecting and being like, yo, I don't even show myself grace. I'm not even patient with myself. When I get something wrong, I'm like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like this critical voice. So even learning how to reparent myself and talk to myself and encourage myself is something I'm learning that, yeah, I've been. And you find out you're giving from this empty cup because it's this, you know, I'm giving everybody else everything. And meanwhile, like I said, I'm completely disconnected from my needs.
For yourself.
Yeah.
You give people everything, you have nothing for yourself. Yeah, nothing. You're not being good to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are things I'm learning to. And so that's why I do the self-care stuff. And I take myself out and I go for a walk. And, you know what I mean? I try to spend a little extra more money, you know what I mean, on stuff to be like, you got to, you know, my friends, like, look, love yourself like Nigerians love your loaf. And that's something that I'm taking the time to really put into, right, discovering Tierra and getting back to, like, who she really is without the shame, without the burden, the boundaries, this need to be proving and perfect, you know, like, who is she? You know what I mean? What does she need? What does she want right now? And it's okay, you know, to give myself that permission right now to take the time I need to be healthy, to be better, so I could be a better friend, you know, so I could be a better artist, a better woman, all those things. But if I'm not, you know what I mean? If I'm bleeding out, I'm gonna bleed out on you eventually.
She just went.
What about you?
I am. I'm currently in pre-production hell.
Oh, girl, yes.
And it's a real thing. It's a real thing for this movie.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but I am making sure. So, for example, I worked out before today because, you know, we went on vacation and I didn't work out before I went. So. That is something that I'm realizing is loving myself, right? Tomorrow I'm going out working in my garden. Like, that's a loving myself. It's making time to do the things that help me stay grounded. I am being very mindful. I want to answer this question though. Loving myself.
That's a great question.
How do you differentiate unsafe friendships if the person has childhood trauma that prevents them from connecting? So if you can't connect at all, I'm not going to force you. I don't care what kind of complex trauma you have, right? Because the best way that I can connect with you personally is by encouraging you to get therapy so that you can connect, right? So I have friends who can't connect very deeply but can connect, and that's like where they stop, which is fine. But they try to they're like, I don't know what's wrong, but then they try to dig a little bit to find it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. But if people are just not connecting and you're pouring, like they become like a project for you, not a friend.
Yeah, and yeah, that's definitely codependency.
Yep.
That then we feel like we just need to fix people. And you can only work on you, you know what I mean? I think too, like, it's... Like I said, knowing that balance, right? Are you always sharing, always pouring, always trying to encourage, always trying to initiate or communicate with things? Do they reciprocate that? If somebody isn't, you know, reciprocating that, then that's a total red flag. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I would just say definitely look out for those red flags and connecting. Because we all have that deep desire to connect with people. But you want to connect with people who are, one, willing to connect. So that person may be at a point in their life where they just can't connect right now. You know what I mean? And that doesn't that doesn't mean it's something on you, or that it's, because sometimes we'll internalize those things and be like, oh, well, they're not connecting with me. Like, it's something wrong with me, right? And then we go, and it can trigger our shame. But sometimes it's just that person maybe not have the capacity, right? Because they're healing or going things, because they have distrust, you know, in their own abandonment issues. And so, yeah, unless that person, I mean, the bottom line is we all got trauma. But the key is, it's this person willingly and consistently seeking to work on their trauma, right? Because some people will diagnose themselves and be like, yeah, I know I got bad too. I know it. It's just me. No, I don't care. That's, you could work on it though. So if you see people who are not working to be more aware of themselves, then yeah, that's definitely a red flag in the person.
Or consistent. Like,
yeah, yeah.
One of the things, I was talking to one of my friends, and I was encouraging her pretty much to grow, right? Because as you grow, you need the people around you to grow. Mm-hmm. And if you don't grow, after a while, it's not going to work, mm-hmm. right? Because if I'm growing here, now granted, we ain't got to grow at the same pace.
Right, no.
But there has to be, if you're always like, this is just who I am, it's never going to change. Mm-hmm. After a while, it's
it just not shoots.
And so, because I'm like, I love you, I need you.
Yeah.
I need you to deal with your trauma.
Yeah.
And show me that you love yourself.
Should do, yeah.
So that you can then in turn love me.
Yeah.
Because it's as you love your neighbor, as you love yourself.
As you love yourself, right.
If you don't love yourself first, you can't love me.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes the people that we even choose is sometimes a reflection of the things that deep within us we have to work on, right? Like, I've yeah. in my friendship, especially with guys, like, I always try to attach myself to emotionally unavailable people, because there was something in me of this need to, right, have to prove to either get this person to like me or to accept me in some way, you know, or just triggering, like, abandonment, you know what I mean,
yeah.
issues that I have. And so to already kind of self-sabotage, I go with people who are already not interested to begin with, because that just reinforces my shame that either I'm not unworthy of love or being chosen or whatever. And so you do things, and sometimes you pick out those people to reinforce that shame. So, like, we wonder why, you know, we always have those certain friendships where we're like, man, I'm always picking this type of person. But it's like, nah, it's something in you that, you know what I mean, you are just replaying through your own trauma. So I think when you're aware of yourself first, you can pick better and, you know, really assess people's circle and their friendships. Like, for me, a red flag is somebody who doesn't have friends around them. Now, we could be cool, but yeah, like, we talking about deep, like, you got to see other people's friends around them too, because these are the people who, right, are influencing on them, who are pouring into them in some way. And so if somebody, you know,
if you always got issues with everybody else between,
yeah, them, yeah, like, if somebody's always the victim in the stories they tell you, red flag.
I got so many this last,
red I'm trying, flag.
It was like this last one, and I saw all these flags, and I was like,
yeah, yeah,
gotta go.
Yeah,
you don't want to, like Manny said, you grow, I grow, we grow, we all grow together.
We grow together. That's it.
Listen, we're not That's trying it. To grow. I can't do it. Because I love myself too much at this point.
Yeah.
Right? Then I also love people around me who then I will introduce you to. Because you'll just bleed that trauma, not just to me,
but
to them. And then they'll have it. It's such a ricochet. But we are at an hour and 40
Ooh,
minutes.
All right, y'all. Yeah. We got to go.
We got to go. And so now,
what time is it over there?
It's 9:39. But
right.
I'm thinking about the Buzzsprout. I'm like, man, we about to have the we had to upgrade last month.
Right. We gonna charge y'all. We gonna start charging y'all.
Listen, let us get these shows on.
But thank y'all for tuning in and engaging.
Thank you guys for encouraging us to keep going. Share this with your friends. We on iTunes Podcast.
We tired.
We on iTunes, Spotify, Google. We on YouTube, we are everywhere, and so help us grow as we grow together. And so next week, our next episode is what?
Next Wednesday, it is on, I think, is it Single and Anxious Part 2?
I think it is. That means I got to edit it.
Uh-oh.
I'm glad I asked. Jesus, take
the wheel. All right. Peace. You want your hands
turned off.
Yeah, I'm tired too. It's been a long day.
Let me put that on the list too, so I make sure I get done.
Right, like, single and anxious too.
Both of them.
Shout out to our sponsors again, GG Pip with the hats. Did you see the inside of your hat? It said a woman that wears a lot of hats. I was like, yes.
I said, oh, I hope we can have a long partnership with them. Someone who wears many hats. It's really cute. Can't see.
That's
really
what we do.
And so I think it was really cool because when we did pitch as Black women, because we really wanted to see more Black women rock these hats and just embrace more of wearing hats. And so to here's to a lot of women who rock a lot of hats. Have a great day. A Lot of Hats podcast. We are available everywhere. Love you guys. Bye.
See y'all.